Welcome, welcome to another podcast episode with your host, Mentor Jay. Mentor
Jay. Hello, everyone. Here we are again for another podcast episode about the French Revolution. Put this in mind that the French Revolutionary Government made reforms, but at the same time, used terror and violence to protect the revolutionary ideals and retain power. So what were the major changes made by the National Assembly? Before answering this question, let's take note in August 5, 1789, the old regime was dead. When I say the old regime, I'm referring to the old government that was in place before the revolution, which social and political system was really crooked. Since the old regime was dead, the three divisions of France society stopped to exist, the first, second, and the third estate. Therefore, making commoners, people who belong to the third estate, equal to the clergy and the nobles. So the first major change made by the National Assembly was the adoption of the Declaration of the Rights of Man. The document granted equality for all French people under the law and protection of personal property. Under the Declaration of Rights of Man, people were able to enjoy equal justice, freedom of speech, and freedom of religion. Based on these principles, the French revolutionary leaders adopted the slogan, Liberty, Equality, Fraternity. However, the principles that the revolutionary leaders embraced were not applied to everyone. Women were still not allowed to vote. In fact, one writer named Olympe de Gouges published her own version of the Declaration of the Rights of Women. Unfortunately, her ideas were rejected. And she was even considered an enemy of the revolution. And later, she was executed. The second major change that the National Assembly made was reforming the church. The National Assembly took over the land owned by the church and sold them, and proceeds from the sale were used to pay off the huge debt of France. And during that time, church officials and priests were elected and got paid as state officials. However, that decision made by the National Assembly backfired. Why? Many people in France, especially the peasants, were devout or devoted Catholics. They were not happy of such actions. And they believed that the Pope should rule over the church and not the state. So, starting the time, many of the peasants opposed the action of the National Assembly in reforming France. The third major change made by the National Assembly was the creation of the limited constitutional monarchy. For 2 years of hard work, debating and arguing, the National Assembly completed the new constitution in September 1791. Hopefully, you still remember in the previous episode, we talked about the tennis court oath. The National Assembly vowed not to leave the tennis court until the new revolution was formed. But it was not that easy. It took 2 years to complete. For sure, they did not stay in the tennis court for 2 years. The new constitution made significant changes in France's government as well as society. It is the new constitution that took many of the king's power. Louis XVI was no longer an absolute monarch. Under the limited constitutional monarchy, the government made two branches. They formed the legislative and the executive. So don't get confused. We have the National Assembly formed the Legislative Assembly. Under the limited constitution monarchy, the government has two branches, the legislative and executive. Therefore, the new legislative body called the Legislative Assembly was formed. The task of the Legislative Assembly was to make laws and to approve or reject declaration of war. The task of the executive, which was King Louis XVI, was to veto laws passed by the LA. However, the Legislative Assembly can override the veto done by the king. By the way, what does the word veto mean? Well, let's ask Wikipedia. Wikipedia, what does it mean? Well, veto is the Latin word for I forbid. Veto is the power used by an officer of a state to unilaterally stop an official action, especially the enactment of legislation. Well, the revolutionary leaders at first were not that radical in the sense that they still gave the king power. By the way, the power given to Louis XVI did not last long. You will discover later why. So these were the major changes or reforms made by the revolutionary governments, especially the National Assembly. How about the terror the revolution brought to France? Before answering the question, let's know what were the conditions that prompted the revolution to use terror to govern France. Despite the fact that the new constitution was in place in 1791, the people of France were still hungry and the huge debt still remained. These problems caused divisions in the Legislative Assembly. Remember that the National Assembly created the Legislative Assembly to pass laws. But however, in the Legislative Assembly itself, there were divisions. There were the radicals, the moderates, and the conservatives. What's funny, they sat in groups in the meeting hall. The radicals on the left, the moderates on the middle, and the conservatives on the right. They could hardly agree on how to govern France. Aside from the divisions in the Legislative Assembly, France society had some factions. They had the émigrés and the sans-culottes. While the émigrés wanted to bring back the old regime, the sans-culottes wanted the revolution to bring more changes to France. Another problem that the revolution was facing was the war against Prussia and Austria in 1792. And in the same year, the angry citizens of France invaded the palace where the royal family were living. And they imprisoned Louis, Marie Antoinette, and their children. France was really in chaos. The chaotic situation gave radicals the chance to push for even greater changes. On September 21, 1792, under pressure, the LA dissolved the assembly, set aside the 1791 constitution, abolished the monarchy, and declared France a republic. The dissolution of the Legislative Assembly prompted the forming of the National Convention. So don't get confused. It all started from the third estate forming the National Assembly. Then the National Assembly created the Legislative Assembly. And since the Legislative Assembly was dissolved, a new election of legislature was called that resulted in the forming of the National Convention. One of the political organizations that influenced the changes made in September 21, 1792 was the Jacobin Club, a radical political group. This political organization, or some of its members, started to introduce terror to the revolution. For instance, Jean-Paul Marat, as a writer, called for the death of all who supported the king. It was also the Jacobin Club that influenced the National Convention that tried Louis for treason, found guilty, and sentenced him to death. On January 21, 1793, Louis walked up the steps of the scaffold to be beheaded by a machine called the guillotine. In 1793, the revolution was facing too many enemies. Other countries such as Great Britain, Spain, and Holland joined Austria and Prussia in fighting against France. Aside from foreign enemies, the revolution had enemies within France. These were the people who were terrified of the king's execution, the priests, and many who opposed the revolution. In the same year, the National Convention formed the Committee of Public Safety under the leadership of Maximilien Robespierre. The main task of the committee was to protect the revolution from its enemies. This task made Robespierre a dictator, and the period he ruled France was known as the Reign of Terror. At this time, the revolution brought terror to France. Robespierre justified this use of terror to make France citizens true to the ideals of the revolution. For Robespierre, terror is nothing else than justice, prompts severe, inflexible. The old maxim, the end justifies the means, describes Robespierre's policy very, very, very well. By the way, Robespierre did a very good job in trying to erase the past of France in his drive to build a republic of virtue. As a result, in his belief that religion is old-fashioned and dangerous, what he did, he changed the calendar and replaced it with the French revolutionary calendar, dividing the year into 12 months and each month had 30 days, and the calendar had no Sundays, so no more chance to go to church. Towards the end of his reign, Robespierre got paranoid by executing anyone suspected not loyal to the revolution. And not only that, he sent to the guillotine anyone he considered less radical than him. His reign of terror did not spare the lives of his fellow radicals who challenged his leadership. He sent thousands of peasants to the guillotine. For just a year of his reign, he executed more than 40,000, and about 80% of those were peasants. Robespierre, what are you doing, man? Or what did you do, man? These people in the Third Estate were the backbone of the revolution, and now you are butchering them? Oh, no. By the way, thanks to some members of the National Convention who realized that Robespierre was going too far, and they stopped him. They demanded the arrest and execution of Robespierre. On July 28, 1794, Robespierre went to the guillotine as the last victim of the Reign of Terror. The following year, 1795, after the death of Robespierre, the National Convention drafted a new plan of the government, forming a two-house legislature and executive body of five men known as the Directory. It was also in this year that France found the right general to lead the French army. Introducing to you, Napoleon Bonaparte. So, in conclusion, the French revolutionary government made reforms in France, but at the same time used terror and violence to protect the revolutionary ideals and retain power. Why it matters today? Because there are some governments out there who lack support of the majority that use fear to control their citizens. Okay, it's your turn to do some research and answer this question. Why Louis was tried for treason? Again, the question, why Louis was tried for treason? Don't forget to post your answers in the comment box below. Thanks for listening.